Perek Dalet Mishnah Zion. Ein Motzin Esa Or. A person cannot ignite a flame on Yomtiv. Lomina Eitzim, not from rubbing wood together to send out a flame. Vlomin Ha'avanim, not from rubbing stones together to shoot out a flame. Vlomin Ha'afar, they had some kind of hard dirt that when they would dig it up, it would, you know, spit out a flame. Vlomin Ha'mayim, and not from water. What does that mean, from water? What they would do is they would take a glass and they'd fill it up with water and then they'd put it in the sun at a certain point where it'll make the glass become boiling, boiling hot. And once the glass becomes boiling, boiling hot, they take a piece of flax, touch it to the glass, and then it would light on fire. So any of these methods, or any method, is prohibited, because it's molad, you're creating something new on Yom Tov. The only way to get a flame on Yom Tov is to connect it from a pre-existing flame. And that's why nowadays, people light a candle before Yom Tov, you know, a three-day candle, so it's on the whole Yom Tov. So if you need a flame, you take it from a pre-existing flame. You can transfer from flame to flame, but you cannot start a new flame. Vein melabnin, neither can you heat up with fire on Yom Tov eshar afim. They used to have these roof tiles that they were made to cover up the roofs, and they would heat them up, litzlos behen, to use them to roast on them, to make them into some kind of makeshift grill and roast on them. And here, our Mishnah is talking about a case where these roof tiles are brand new. And the reason why it's prohibited from doing this is because that when you make them boiling hot, you're actually making them stronger, you're strengthening them. And that's like tikkun kli, it's like you're fixing a utensil. So therefore, it's prohibited. But l'chayra, apparently you could say that if it's old roof tiles that already are, you know, very, very strong, and making them hot doesn't strengthen their durability, so then you can make them hot and grill on top of them, it wouldn't be a problem. Only with these new ones it's a problem, because granted you're doing it for cooking purposes, you want to make it into a grill, but at the end of the day you're strengthening the tile, and that's prohibited because you're making it into a stronger utensil, which is tikkun kli, fixing a kli on Yom Tov. The Odin, furthermore, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, says, this is in addition to what we mentioned in Mishnah Vav, where Rabbi Eliezer was lenient with regards to using a toothpick on Yom Tov, right? So now he's going to say another leniency. Omid Adam, a person can stand al ha-muktza. Muktza doesn't mean actual muktza here, it means the area where they would spread out figs and dates to dry up, right? And before we go further, it's important to keep in mind that what they used to do is they would take figs and dates, and then they would, after they would harvest them, so once they harvest them, they're in a state of tevel, meaning they can't be eaten until their maeserus, or tithes, are taken off of them. When are the tithes taken off? When's the maeser taken off? After the gemar malacha, after the whole process is complete. So what they would do is, they would take these figs, they would take these dates, they would spread them out in these open fields, that's what's called the muktza over here, these open fields, and they would dry up. And then after they were dried up, that's the gemar malacha, that's when they would be complete. And then you take off the tith to make it edible. So when you first harvest it, it's tevel, you cannot eat it, it's prohibited. Then they would, you know, would do whatever process they did until they laid it out in this field to dry up. And then after it dried up, it was the gemar malacha, the process was complete. And then they would take the tiths off it in order to make it edible. So now what Rabbi Eliezer is coming to say is like this. A person can stand by his field, where his figs and dates are drying. Erev Shabbos, before Shabbos, b'shvi'is, during the Shemitah year, the seventh year, where all fruit become hefker, become ownerless. Now, in the Shemitah year, not only do the fruit become ownerless, but they also become exempt from ma'aser. You don't take off a tith anymore. So now a person could say, before Shabbos, for Omer, he would say, mikan, from here, ani ochel, I will eat l'machar, tomorrow on Shabbos. Meaning, this hazmana, this preparation, helps to make it permissible for him to eat these fruits, these dried figs and these dried grapes on Shabbos, right? And even though you may say, what do you mean? You can't eat from it, that you didn't take off the tith. It's not edible. But no, since it's the Shemitah year, you're not taking off the tith anyway, the mere fact that you get up and say, I'm going to eat from these fruits on Shabbos, permits you to eat it on Shabbos, because alts muktzah, because of muktzah is no problem, because you said, I want to eat from it, you prepared it. And alts not being tith is not a problem, because it's the Shemitah year, you don't have to take off tith during the Shemitah year. And they bring that also, that hu adin, so is the law in any year, where shor shai hula, you could do the same concept. Meaning, let's just say you have regular fruit, but you have to take off ma'aser from it, right? It's not the Shemitah year, you have to take off ma'aser. So imu ma'aser separes from erev Shabbos. If you took off the tith before Shabbos, so now they've been tithed already, okay, great. In a regular year where you do have to take off the tithe, if you take it off before Shabbos, then you can do the same thing and say, I want to eat from these fruit on Shabbos. And even though they're lying in the field, they're not considered mukzah, and you can eat them on Shabbos. It is our Mishnah is talking about a Shemitah year, so it brought this kind of example. So generally, if you didn't take off the tithe before Shabbos, you can't eat it on Shabbos. It's tevel. You can't eat it yet. If you take out the tithe before Shabbos, then you say, I want to eat from this on Shabbos, then you could eat from it. Because now you put it in a stage of, you know, in an edible stage. And during the Shemitah year, you don't even have to take off the tithe, because during the Shemitah year, it's exempt from tithes. So therefore, you just get up and say, I want to eat from this on Shabbos, and then you can eat from it on Shabbos. The Chachamim say, Ad Shirshim V'yomar V'kan V'yadkan. They argue and they say that no, you can't just get up and say, I want to eat from these fruits. Rather, you have to be specific and say, I want to eat from here to there. You have to specify what you want. And if you do that, then in this scenario, you just fit it into the equation. Only then would the Chachamim permit it. But otherwise, by just saying in general, I want to eat from this, you know, the fruit in this field, that's not good enough. You have to be specific and show from what point of the field to what point of the field you want to be eating. And the commentaries explain the reason of the machlokas, the reason of the dispute between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham is as follows. That according to Rabbi Eliezer, he says he holds of breira. Breira means he holds of retroactive, meaning when this person takes the fruit on Shabbos, wherever he's taking from, he's showing that retroactively before Shabbos, it was these fruit that I had in mind that I wanted to eat. Whereas the Chacham say that no, we don't say breira, we don't say this concept of retroactive. Rather, you have to show beforehand, where do you want to eat from? And only then would it make it permissible. But to just take what you want and say, oh yeah, this is what I meant retroactively, that would not work. So that's the explanation between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. Rabbi Eliezer does hold of Breira, of this retroactive concept, whereas the Chachamim don't. And that's the end of Perek Dalet. Yep, that's the end of Perek Dalet. Now we'll begin Perek Hey, the final Perek in Mesach Tebeah, Mishnah Aleph. Mashilin Peros Derech Aruba B'Yom Tov. A person who has fruit that are spread out on his roof, and they're drying on his roof, and then he sees that, oh no, it's going to start raining. And he knows if it starts raining, it's going to ruin his fruit. So it's permitted for him to take the fruit and transport it through the aruba, through the skylight, from the roof into his house. And dafka, only through the skylight is it okay, because there's no tircha, there's no major work, and therefore you could do it on Yom Tov. But through a window, for example, if this roof had walls on top of it, then those walls had a window that somehow would lead into the house, and you could like throw it through the window and somehow, you know, I don't know, get it into the house. So since that's, you have to start picking up the fruit, you can't just toss it down a skylight, you gotta pick it up, and you gotta transport it through this window, that is a tircha yitir, that's too much work. And in that case, the Chachamim said it's not permitted, we don't want you doing too much work on Yom Tov. Avalo b'Shabbos, and then on Shabbos, even if you're doing it right through the skylight, that you can't do it on Shabbos. On Shabbos, it'd be totally prohibited because we don't stretch out this leniency of doing things of like work wise for food on Yom Tov to Shabbos. So on Shabbos, even through a skylight, it would be totally prohibited. Umekasim peros b'kelev nehadelev. Another case: if you have rain, right, and the rain is dripping down minhagag from the roof, okay. Now, Shigdil Noah Hefsed Mammon, and then you have fruit underneath the roof that this rain that's coming off from the roof would be dripping onto it, and you don't want this rain to come down the pipe and drip onto your fruit. So you could cover up your fruit with a utensil, right? It's not a problem. The Chum permitted it, and you could cover it up in order that you don't lose, there's no, you know, financial loss, you don't lose these fruit from the rain that's dripping down from the roof. So you could cover up the fruit on Yom Tov. And this is limited just to Yom Tov, okay? V'chein kadei yayin, v'kadei shemen, jugs of wine, jugs of oil. You can cover them if it's, you know, if you have water from the dela, from the roof, dripping onto them, you can cover them up. Afapi, even though there's she'ein behem ela hefsed mu'ah, it's only just a small loss, these jugs of wine, jugs of oil. Even so, it doesn't have to be a big loss, even a small loss will be lenient. You can cover it up. And the Gemara explains that our Mishnah is coming to teach us that even jugs of wine and jugs of oil that are in a tevel state, meaning their tithes, their mices weren't taken off yet, and you can't even eat them, you can't move them, they have no use. Nevertheless, you're allowed to take a utensil and cover it up on Yom Tov, okay, on Yom Tov. Shekli nitel afilo tzarech davar she'en nitel, that a utensil which is usable can be taken even with something which is not usable. This gigantic, you know, bowl can come and cover up these jugs of wine or oil that are not even in an edible state on Yom Tov, even if it's just a small financial loss. And you may not even need the thing that you're covering. covering. I'm sorry, not that you may not need it. It's not in an edible state. It's not in a usable state. So there's two leniencies here. Number one, it's only a small loss, not a big loss. And number two, I can't even use these items. The fruit I can eat at Yom Tov. This jug of wine, a jug of oil, is in a tevel state. The meiser has not been taken yet. So it's not edible. Even so, we're lenient on Yom Tov to cover it up so you don't have even a small loss, even for things that don't have a use right now on Yom Tov. And finally, the nose and kli hachas adalaf b'Shabbos. So this was, we mentioned, was Yom Tov. Now we're going to Shabbos. It's permitted for a person to take a utensil and put it under the roof on Shabbos to collect the water, the kabbal samayim to collect the water which is dripping from the roof into the house. So here, it's dripping into his house. He's going to have a puddle in his house. So in this scenario, even on Shabbos, in order that your house does not get dirty, the Chachamim permitted you to put a utensil there on Shabbos to collect the water so it doesn't get your house dirty. And certainly on Yom Tov as well, it wouldn't be a problem. And the Gemara says that if the utensil became full, you could also spill it out and then put it back and gather all the water and then spill it out again and gather all the water. It's not a problem. We permit this on Shabbos and on Yom Tov so that your home does not get dirty from the water which is dripping into your home.